Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the Cavs beating the Brooklyn Nets once again, this time 125-113. We're going to talk about the Kevin Porter Jr. trade that happened, and we're going to look ahead to Sunday's Cavs-Celtics game, where, as Larry Nance said, he is looking forward to dunking on Tristan Thompson. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out. By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down. Drummond ran at him. Love this time up toward Drummond. And Drummond dunks. Oh, my. To Okoro, he lays it up, he lays it in!
And, woo! Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, recording on a Friday here. We kind of adjusted our schedule this week because of the holiday and the game schedule, but how are you on this Friday evening?
Stupid. My demon Hellcat that is my kitten is quietly sitting on the couch next to me sleeping, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Do you have the spray bottle ready again?
Yeah, I got the blicky on draw, don't worry. Like, I'll blast him if he fucking acts up. By act up, I'm not, like, abusive to animals. I just don't want him scratching and ruining my couch, so it's just a quick no, and then he runs away.
Yeah, fair enough. But it's, you know, fun. I'm doing good. Drinking some tea. I'm drinking some Christmas Eve caffeine-free herbal tea.
What the heck? That's not your mint tea. Now the energy's off. The vibe's off.
I got to sage
Everything's
my
ruined.
I got to sage my office just to kind of, you know, go with the flow here. I'm still very much glad. Did you see this Danny Ainge tweet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you so you can laugh at it, but I recommend people go to Danny Ainge's Twitter account, which I didn't know existed.
Oh, his like, actual Twitter account?
Yeah, it's quite funny.
I didn't know it existed either.
It's quite. There's a tweet he has that involves the Bernie Sanders meme. It's quite funny, and that's all we're gonna say about it on the show. But it's quite funny. But Evan, I'm gonna send this to you so you can see it. But Cavs again win 125-113. Another win against Brooklyn. The Cavs are now 8-7 on the year, 5-3 at home. Kevin Durant does not play in this one for Brooklyn. Cleveland ultimately wins this game largely with 70 points in the paint versus 46 for Brooklyn, 18 second chance points versus Brooklyn 7. The Cavs had 53 bench points as well. Kyrie Irving has 38 points to lead all scores. James Harden adds 19. Colin Sexton leads away with Cleveland for 25. Darius Garland has 11 and 3 assists in his return. Larry Nance Jr. has 15 and 10 boards. Andre Drummond is 19 and 13. And Jared Allen adds 19 points to go 6 boards off of the bench. Evan, let's dive into our normal MVP play of the game stat of the night awards. Who's your MVP?
Well, I feel like the obvious answer is Colin Sexton here, and I have a backup if you pick Sexton as well. But my
no, you're going first. You get to pick.
Okay. I just wanted there to be perfect balance, like all things should be, in the Cavs scoring in this regard. No, it's Colin Sexton. Then Brooklyn threw a couple different looks at him tonight. JP pointed it out, and I noticed that during the game, the Nets were switching on him a lot and just trying to throw everything they could at him, and the Nets really couldn't contain him. He was 8-9 from the line, which is super impressive, which means, like you said, Chris, he needs to start using his aggressiveness to draw fouls. But also, he didn't go off for 42, still scored 25, but he had 9 assists, which is a huge thing for Colin because he's not really known as a playmaker. But he shared this with us post-game that he made a concerted effort when Taurean Prince and Jared Allen came to the Cavs to learn where they like the ball on the floor. So, like, that kick out to Prince early in the game, like, that was an awesome read from Sexton from beyond the arc, or just, you know, being a lob, treating Jared Allen like a good pick and roll and lob threat in that regard as well. Like, Colin's really growing and maturing, and he's just, like, he's having fun out there, and I have fun watching him play, and he's Cleveland's best player, and he deserves these MVP honors. Who's your pick?
He's very, very good. Career high in assists, because I was wrong, but this was his career high assists in a win. His 10 assist game came in a loss. This
is the
most
Channing Frye's last game.
Yes. So my MVP is just, I'm going to just play kind of just good vibes here. I'm going Dylan Windler. Didn't have, obviously, like, the biggest game. Like, Jared Allen, I think, probably was the second best Cav. You could make a very good argument for Larry Nance Jr. as well. I just want to, like, say good to see Dylan Windler back on the floor, making two threes, looking confident out there, having six boards, which is something that you and I highlighted that he was actually good at in preseason action. It was just good to see him back out there and playing basketball. Had a really nice pass that kickstarted a fast break that ultimately got him a three-pointer. So, Collins clearly the best player in this game. I think other guys were better objectively. Like, you could make a case for Okoro and to some extent even too, but, like, Garland, I think, clearly had a really nice game in a lot of ways, but I'm just going to go Windler because I'm here for the vibes right now.
No, I feel that. Torian Prince deserves a shout-out as well. He finished the night with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist on 3 of 5 shooting for those 14 points. But, no, Dylan is a really good pick, and that's why I went, oh, because he was my early one at first because it was just good to see him out there and, like, hitting threes with confidence again. And he may not be the player that he was coming out of Belmont because of the injuries and everything, but he was a lot of fun tonight against Brooklyn, and I hope he can continue this momentum and he can stay healthy. But I really love what JB said about Dylan too. He's like, it was awesome to have him back out there on the floor. He's a similar player to Larry where he keeps both sides of the ball moving. He makes the game easier for everybody else, and the Cavs need, if they have players like that coming off the bench in terms of Larry Nance and Dylan Windler, they're in a very good place going forward, and I'm very happy with where they are. And no, Dylan definitely deserves some shout out just from being healthy and just looking good out there.
Yeah, I think that when you're building the way the Cavs are, sort of team basketball, sort of not going heavy on star power, because that's just not a sustainable way to win in Cleveland. I think that's just the reality of the market.
Unless LeBron comes back.
Yeah, unless LeBron, like, you have another generational all-time great player born and then drafted to the franchise. Like, that's just, like, that's just tough. But I think with him...
All right, Chris, I think the pressure's on for you and the wife to get going here. You need to produce a basketball player.
That's the, my any future children I have will not be that athletic. They will be just cursed. My wife is also the much more athletic person of the two. Facts.
Shouts to Leanne.
Facts. She her only reaction to the game was I sent her the clip of Darius throwing that pass to Allen, and because she's a DG head, and she had the star, she sent me back the star eyes emoji. So that's a reaction.
Good. That's good.
That's good takes. Evan, stat of the night for you is what?
My stat of the night pick was the Cavs bench points. I mean, it was a little slanted because Darius Garland was coming off the bench, but the Cavs were able to produce. They outscored Brooklyn's bench quite a bit. Let's just for context. Brooklyn put up 24, 28, 31 points to Cleveland's. Here we go, folks. 25 plus 19, that's 44, 50, 53 points. The Cavs obliterated Brooklyn in terms of bench production. Like, Torian Prince, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Dylan Windler. Good luck, man. And, like, Damian Dotson was pretty good. He only played 9 minutes tonight, and he scored 3 points on one shot attempt, and it was just one shot he made. So, no, the Cavs' just bench production was really impressive tonight. Like, it was a good team win overall, and just there's a lot of momentum. Like, Andre Drummond said it well. He's like, yeah, no, we have me coming off the floor, and it's like you have another bully coming in. Like, the Cavs just have a really good stable of bigs that they lean on, and it just kind of trickles down from there in terms of their bench right now.
Yeah, I think that's a very good one. I think the bench is, they're clearly a deep team, and I think, like, they're deep in ways that is sort of interesting in terms of having a bunch of wings, and I'm just visually not used to the Cavs having, like, a bunch of wings that are competent in that way. Yeah. So that's just, like, a weird thing. Evan, mine's just going to be the offensive rebounding rate because... the Cavs had a 41.9% offensive rebounding rate to the 99th percentile. And
it's insane. They obliterated Brooklyn on the boards tonight too. The 50-29.
Yes. Overall, like, again, some of the things that don't hold for the Cavs, like, you know, defensive life rebounds and stuff like that, like, wasn't good, but they're still able to, like, in Brooklyn's just like, even though, like, this isn't like apex Brooklyn, and Brooklyn still posted, like, an offensive rating, like, of 114, which is, like, pretty freaking good, like, all things considered, but their defense was just worse, and the Cavs crushed them in the offensive glass. This is an offensive rebounding rate in the 99th percentile of all games this year. That's, like, outright incredible. Andre Drummond had 5, Larry Nance had 2, You had two from Isaac Okoro. You had one from Sexton, one from Torian Prince, and two from Jared Allen. Like, this team just has guys that are going to scrap in that way. And I think, like, again, this may not hold against, like, the elite of the elite rebounding teams or teams that skew a little bigger, but it's a strength of the team as long as Drummond's around, as long as Nance is around, as long as Allen's around and healthy. And and Kevin comes back, and he'll contribute in that way a little bit too. So I think it's just, that's a notable thing. Evan, play of the night for you is what?
Well, real quick, just a outlying stat of the night, shout out. Chris Paul had 14 assists in the first half against the Denver Nuggets. That's pretty impressive. But my
play, I was texting with someone from the Suns about that, and as we were talking about, I got a text about my Spencer Hawes tweet, and
like a good text.
No, a good text.
Okay, that's
this
good.
This is a good. Yeah, no, this is someone I know from high school that actually works for the NBA, which is a weird thing.
Ooh,
but,
Mr. Yeah. Fancy over here. My play of the night pick was Torian Prince's block, and you pointed this out after I watched the footage again, but Dylan Windler making such a smart pass, and that led to the Dylan Windler three at the other end. Like, it was just such a crazy sequence and everything. But, like, no, like you said, this leans into the Dylan Windler MVP pick as well, where seeing Dylan just play competently on both ends of the floor, and JP Bickerstaff pointed this out too, but like, I was really concerned he was going to be very cautious and hesitant with his body and how it responds to him out there, but he looks confident, he looks good to go, and I'm just hoping he stays healthy, because I think Dylan Windler will be a sneaky fun player for the Cavs long term.
Yeah, I think it's good that he played. I think it was good that he kind of just looked comfortable. I didn't expect him to look so kind of comfortable and do stuff like that and not press. I was hoping he was going to be on the virtual dais for post game, because I just would have liked to pick his brain a little bit on how he, you know, handles some of that. But just glad that he played, and hopefully we'll get to talk to him sooner rather than later. Evan, that was going to be my play of the night, actually, but mine as that my
I have
my
others back, if you want some backups.
No, I have two that I'm going to do as like a co-one, even though they're different plays. Number one, at the end of the first half, Darius Garland playing some really well. I just want to say that the Darius lob to Jared Allen is just incredible. It's in the intro now. I cut it into the intro and replaced the other Garland clip in there because it was just so good. But I want to shout out Darius Garland for playing really good defense on Kyrie Irving and forcing not a turnover, but not letting Kyrie get off a shot with the Cavs up by one to give the Cavs a 1-point lead going in halftime.
Physicality and active hands.
Just really good stuff. And then I don't have the exact moment of when this is in my notes, because my notes got a little sloppier as the game went on. But Okoro defending, anytime I watched Okoro defend Harden one on one was just really, really good. Just no. All of that is just like wildly impressive for a 19-year-old.
No, this is just a wildly, you know, both of those plays were stellar, especially the lob pass, but like Garland's defense on Kyrie was hella impressive. But no, this is just an impressive overall win for the Cavs. Like, you can't, like, they got to be taken seriously as a good team now. Like, I think we need to really have a talk about, like everyone's just like citing the fact that the Cleveland has the 30th ranked overall offense. James Harden and Kevin Durant were quick to point that out too, but for context, Damian Dotson was the team's leading guard for 7 of the last 15 games, and they're just getting their best player back in Colin Sexton, and they just got their point guard back in Darius Garland. Like, yes, they lost Dante Exum, so they don't have a lot of depth at the guard position, but the Cavs are finally getting healthy, and I think we need to put a little respect on their names, because the defense is sustainable. Like, it's weird to think, like, this defense is sustainable for Cleveland, and yeah, no, they're a fun team right now, and I hope more people pay attention to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break here, Evan. We'll come back, talk about Kevin Porter Jr. and that trade and how he's now a Houston Rocket. But I want to first tell people about our betting partner in the network, and that's betonline.ag. Right now, you can bet on the big NFL games this weekend. You can bet on the NBA slate as you see fit. You can bet on the Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier fight that goes down on Saturday night on Fight Island over in the Middle East. There's a ton of great stuff you can go bet on at betonline.ag. And this is the only place that we trust here at the Locked On Network. They're our official partner, and they're just an excellent site. And they're allowing you to get in on the action here with a great offer of a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. If you are interested in, you know, the top headlines in sports, NFL games, NBA, whatever, BetOnline is your place to do it. It's the one place that you covered on everything and the one place we trust. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. And I want to let you guys know about the Locked On Today podcast, the newest initiative from the Locked On Network. It comes out next week for the first time. And get more of your sports news in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts, which is probably where you're listening to Locked On Cavs. All right, back after this, talk about Kevin Porter Jr. All right, Evan. Kevin Porter Jr., Houston Rocket. Cavs get a highly, highly protected top 55 protected, to be exact. Second, yeah, they're never going to see it. Just your reaction to this, and with KPJ now heading to the state of Texas.
I mean, it's sad. It's genuinely sad. I don't want people to think I was rooting for Cleveland to get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. I know there's a lot of people who are upset the Cavs got rid of Kevin Porter Jr., but it's for the best. I mean, what Kobe said today in the Cavs statement, it was around 3 or so today, I think. You and I were texting about it. And, I mean, Kobe Altman said, "After careful and thoughtful evaluation, we made the very difficult and collective decision to make this trade. Given the culture and environment we have worked to cultivate here in Cleveland, we feel this move is in everyone's best interest. Kevin has a bright career ahead of him as a professional basketball player and, at his core, is a good person. We wish Kevin and his family well in Houston." Like, yeah, Kobe hit the nail on the head. Like, the Cavs have built a really strong, sustainable, dare I say, culture right now. And, like, Kevin Porter Jr. just kind of wasn't fitting. And maybe just, like, the Cavs have exhausted all their resources and tried to do everything they could. And the altercation on Friday was the straw that broke the camel's back, as Chris and I have talked about. But out of all the teams he could go to, Houston is probably one of the better spots for him. Just because they have John Lucas II leading their bench. And John Lucas has been key in helping a lot of athletes rehab. He's actually worked with Daniel House during the after what happened in the Orlando bubble a lot. And there are some question marks about maybe having DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall as his mentors. But I think Houston's a good spot for him. They don't have a lot of depth on the wing, so he could earn an opportunity to play right away. But I really think that John Lucas connection is going to do Kevin Porter Jr. a lot of wonders. And I just, it's sad. I wish it could have worked out in Cleveland because he does have a lot of potential. He was viewed as a franchise cornerstone by Bickerstaff and others in the organization. And I just wish him the best. And yeah, it's just, it sucks. It really does suck because you want to see these young homegrown talents stick with the team and become key pieces going forward. But one of that gravity and value, like Kevin Porter Jr. in terms of his on-court production, to lose that sucks. But as a person, like human to human, I just hope this is the right move for him, and I hope it helps him get what he needs.
Yeah, Kevin also posted a statement to Twitter and Instagram, and was very notable how many former Cavs and current Cavs that he's played with were, showing him support. I mean, I think like there he was tight with Darius and tight with a bunch of very other guys in the locker room.
His draft classmates he was tight with.
I think even like everyone, I think he like had a good relationship with a lot of folks in a lot of ways. And even if it obviously didn't turn out well, I'm sure like, I don't think they exactly like condone, some of the stuff he did. I don't think anyone would necessarily agree with it, but here to read a quarter part of his statement: "Cleveland, thank you for giving me a chance to change not only my life, but my family's as well, and believing in me. To the beloved city, the fans, my brothers I gained, the coaching staff, and the entire organization, I appreciate you and won't ever take the relationship we have for granted. Everything we shared together was real, and it'll always be a forever love." So there is that. You can see that. He's going to Houston now. We'll see when he plays. We'll see kind of how that works out for him. Again, I went back and like was watching like his Heat clip, the Heat game and some of the other performances he had, and the talent's clearly there. I think you're right about the John Lucas thing. I understand why the Cavs do this in a lot of ways, because I think it saves you.
I know why the Cavs tried to do this. They freed up a roster spot, so if there's any moves down the line, they can bring in additional players. Like, they were able to offload Kevin Porter's salary entirely on Houston, who absorbed it with an exception, so this was a salary dump. That's all it was at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And Evan, you know this from, you and I getting to know each other the year or so, however long we've been doing this podcast together, and just us talking all the time about this. Like, I'm very over covering, like, the transactional nature of how we cover sports is sort of, like, I'm very over it in a lot of ways. Like, it's just not, like, the prism of how I want to talk about things in a lot of ways anymore. I just don't. I just don't enjoy it very much, frankly. I find it weird in a lot of ways, but like that's sort of what this is. And I think like in a perfect world, you'd be in a situation where like maybe the Cavs, like, you know, if you're fully committed to this, I wonder if you could have worked on this in some way, or like how, if you could have continued to like make this continue to work in a different way and keep progressing it to some degree. You know, if you could have made it work in a different world. But I also think there are breaking points in these things, and there is just a financial business reality to this business. Like, that's just the reality of it, unfortunately. Like, it is not just like, I think in anything, like there is just a limit on how far you want it to go. And I think by all accounts, like, I do believe the Cavs and talking to people about it, like, they did kind of hit their limit on this in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I do hope Kevin Porter Jr. is highly, highly successful in the league. I think that would be like good. I think the Cavs want that. I don't think like they're wishing him any ill will on the way out here. No, so
not at all. They want nothing but the best for Kevin Porter. It just didn't work out.
Right. So I think we're just in the situation where this is where it ended up. It's clearly a salary dump. The roster spot is what it is. You know, like, you get a little money, like, it in, like, if you're wondering about like shaving a little money, like, that's not necessarily the worst thing when you are going to have money coming up soon. And like, Colin's going to get the bag, and like, you're going to have some financial things to just kind of consider if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers going forward a little bit, and that's part of it. You obviously would have just preferred, you know, you have this really good young player, but you know, that obviously didn't work out that way. Evan, do you have when you're thinking about the roster spot and where they go from here now, do you have a preference on what you would want them to do with that roster spot? Do you have like a take on what you'd like to maybe see them do?
Leave it open. Try and see what you can do with either Andre Drummond or maybe the smaller trade with JaVale McGee, and try and bring in a backup point guard somehow, some way. Because I know the Cavs are playing well now, but why not add further depth so that this Cavs team, if they do, you know, run into more injuries, whether it's for Garland or Sexton, and hopefully it's neither of them, but I'd rather have emergency depth just in case, because I don't think Dele's coming back at all this season at this point. I mean, he could down the line, but right now I have zero faith in Matthew Dellavedova suiting up for the Cavs.
Yeah, I think they're being very cautious with Dele, as I think you should with a brain injury. I think they're going to keep it open for now based on sort of my read on it. I think like if you're looking at like trading anything out, particularly Drummond, you're probably looking at a more likely, it's not going to be a 1-for-1 swap, it's going to be a 2-for-1. And I think that flexibility, if you can maintain it, and maybe you can like supplement your depth with like another, the added two-way thing and whatever, like, I think there are ways sort of around what's going on here. So I think that's sort of worth thinking about in that way at the very least. But I want to see, I guess, what they do with it. I think like if you were to bring back like Yogi Ferrell, like, I don't think that's like the worst idea in the world, but I don't think
it's gonna happen,
but I don't either. But I think if like you wanted to add a backup guard, I think you could justify it, even though, like, I think you could probably, like, barring injuries, barring COVID stuff, and that's obviously always going to be a concern, I do think, like, you're in a situation where, like, that would be the obvious need to me. You don't need a big, you know, you don't need a wing. You would need a backup point guard, like a third-string point guard, and I think you could, I would rather, if I were them, try to make do. But again, Kevin Porter Jr.'s time is done. It's unfortunate. Looking forward to whenever he does come back, and again, I hope I personally hope he does really well. It's on my things to do this weekend. I have the one time I got to talk to him one-on-one was over the phone before his rookie year, and it was like a 40-minute conversation, and I'm gonna go back and listen to it because I just want to kind of revisit it and think about it in a different context of this, and just kind of see what I thought and see what I asked and go from there. But after you're gonna listen to this Locked On Cavs episode, I would highly recommend going and checking out the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all the sides of the story with Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. I highly recommend it. Go check out the Jeff Zogut episode and the Howard Beck episode in particular, two recent ones that I've quite loved. All right, back after this to look ahead to Cavs Celtics, which takes place Sunday, 7 p.m. in Boston. All right, Evan, last segment. Let's preview Cavs Celtics. What are you looking forward to in this game?
I'm getting a hearty laugh over some Celtics fans saying that they'd rather have Al Horford over Tristan Thompson right now, but because not JaVale McGee, Joel Embiid took the Celtics task tonight. We're recording this on Friday night for those listening, maybe before the Celtics game, but just kind of interested to see. Brad Stevens is a very good coach. I do question Steve Nash's ability as like a vibe manager. Like maybe he doesn't really know the defensive like tinkering, and that's more so falls on Jacques Vaughn for Denver. Or sorry, not Denver, Brooklyn. And I'm curious what Brad Stevens is going to do when it comes to Sexton or Garland, and I'm just kind of curious in general, like who plays and who doesn't play, because they have to play the Lakers the following night and back in Cleveland on Monday. So I wonder, maybe Sexton sits or Garland sits or Drummond sits. Like there could be some situations where JB just kind of thinks about the longevity of this team and doesn't really focus on who they're playing. And maybe they throw everyone against Boston, they throw everyone against the Lakers. I don't know. It's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I was looking, I was watching that game a little bit. Embiid feasted in this game. Ben Simmons was very, very good. A couple quotes coming out of it were interesting. Number one, from Jared White. These are both from via Jared Weiss of The Athletic at Jared Weiss NBA on Twitter. This is what Jaylen Brown said about their defense. Quote, we got to have that villainous mentality on defense. We have to follow Smart's lead, and I got to do a better job as a leader on that side of the ball, really making an impact on the defensive side like I know I can. And then also he Brad Stevens had a quote, we're not going to win a game with the group that we have if we're giving up 122 points. If we're not going to be committed to that, I don't see us being sustainably competitive. Defense is clearly kind of the point of emphasis for them right now. I think it's the area they're struggling, according to Cleaning the Glass. This is as of Friday, so not post game. Check that off on your bingo box. Chris mentioned Cleaning the Glass. They are.
I wasn't gonna say anything, man.
I'm all for roasting myself, King. They are 18th in defense and giving up 111.5 points per 100 possessions, and then they're 12th in offense at 112.2 points per 100 possessions. So a little better on offense than defense right now. They just got Kemba Walker back, obviously. You know, again, I don't think the Cavs, like, I don't think we exactly understand the Cavs on the offensive side of the ball fully yet. Again, they're 29th or whatever in offense right now. I don't think that's totally accurate because of all the injuries. And just as JB said on Friday, like, he was basically just, like, doing stuff to kind of, like, make the team function. And you know, you can, like, they weren't running sets that I know for a fact they were drilling in camp and drilling in the bubble, like the double dragon set. You haven't seen it a lot, and you saw them run it with Okoro and Jared Allen in this game, because like I think they're going to slowly integrate it back in. And but they just couldn't run a bunch of stuff for like a long time, and that was extremely notable. So that's just where the Cavs offense is at right now. It's going to be an evolving thing as you know they bring everybody back and everyone gets healthy. I mostly agree with everything you said there. I do hope Sexton plays, just because I want to see him get defended by Marcus Smart. I really want that.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting matchup. Okoro on like Jaylen Brown or Kemba Walker is going to be interesting. Tatum won't play, right?
Is he hurt?
No,
he has COVID.
COVID.
Oh, that's right. So according to the Boston Globe via quick Google, Tatum might have been able to play Friday.
Oh, interesting. Well,
so it's possible that he could play on Sunday.
Well, the Cavs are a really good defensive team, so you really want to throw a dude who's just recovering from COVID back at them. Like, I'm saying this without, like, a shred of irony, or, like, I'm not trying to meme you right now. I'm being serious.
Yeah. So Stevens called him a 50-50 for Friday. So I would expect that it's possible he plays on Sunday, and that'll be a test for Okoro, too.
No,
That'll be interesting. Him chasing Kemba around would be interesting.
It would for sure. I think Isaac kind of getting a trial by fire with the Nets for two games, and the Celtics are no slouches in terms of like their individual pieces, especially on the perimeter. Then like the Lakers on Monday, like this is Isaac Okoro's very bumpy week, and so far he looks smooth. So I'm interested to see what's going on with that. But I'm also just, you know, it'll be nice to see Tristan again. We still appreciate him. Locked on Cavs, and I'm sure most Cavs fans do, but I do think it's funny that Larry's going to try and yam it on him when he sees him, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty darn interested to see how... I'm here for the Larry, Tristan, Kevin, Tristan, assuming Kevin travels, I don't know if he will or not. Just all the interaction with Tristan, I'm here for.
Darius, even though Tristan.
Yeah, even though it's, you know, even though it's in Boston, like I'm very excited for the Tristan video, tribute video when he comes back. I hope is like 20 minutes long. Like, I hope it's a short film.
Yeah, it could be worth it. I mean, the Kardashians always have the cameras running, so there's probably a lot of footage the Cavs could use.
Yeah, but this will be an interesting game. It's a tough back-to-back for Cleveland because you're getting Boston and then LA, who is very good on Monday. How they handle that will be interesting. We don't know if we're going to hear from them on Saturday or not yet.
They might get the night off
or day off. I kind of hope they do. I think this team needs a little rest, but I don't expect like Darius Garland to come off the bench going forward. Like that would be weird to me. And we'll see how it goes.
Darius had a mature response though to your question about that.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. Tell everyone what he said and what did you make of it?
Well, he said
I asked a very clunky question about him coming off the bench.
I thought you stuck the landing, my man. Chris more or less asked Darius like, hey, what was it like coming off the bench? This isn't going to be like a normal thing for you. And Darius just said, like, well, doesn't matter if I start or come off the bench as long as we win. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of maturity, these young players, and it's just kind of refreshing to hear sometimes. It's like when Sexton said, like, if the ball's moving and everybody's having fun, that's all that matters. So, like, if we're sharing the ball and having fun, no one can beat us. That's what Colin said. Like, there's a lot of maturity from these Cavs youngsters, and I hate that word youngster so much because a certain
I really hate that word.
Because a certain journalist uses it way too much. But like when I'm writing about the Cavs young players, I will type out the word youngster, and then I'll have to highlight it and then copy-paste and like, all right, let's find some synonyms for this word. But yeah, no, it's just Darius might come off the bench. He might – the Cavs might bring him along slowly. Like that's usually JB's thing is like if – to help him with his recovery process at least. So maybe he'll come along slowly and kind of beat up on Boston's bench a little bit too.
Yeah, I do not think I do not think he'll like be a long-term thing, but yeah.
Temporary, of course.
Definitely interesting kind of thing. But all right, that's going to be it. We are going to be back here on Monday to recap the Celtics game and look ahead to the Lakers game. Again, check out Locked On Celtics. Check out Locked On Lakers if you want insight onto those teams going forward. But
check out Locked On Cavs again too. I mean, hey, what the hey?
Yeah, you might have not caught an episode this week, and we'll have a bunch of more coming up. Again, we've had a really great year, really great month. Thanks everyone who's tuned in. Please, the biggest thing I think you could do if you want to help us out and support us is go to Apple Podcasts because that's really the one place that ratings are visible and matter. Go leave us a 5-star review. It's juice those books. Cook those books too.
Leave a 5-star review. I'll read it on the podcast to open each one.
Yes. And maybe
as long as it's safe for work. Like, I'm not going to be saying some, like, slanderous stuff that's going to get me canceled, so.
And maybe, maybe down the line we could find a way to do a giveaway for 5-star review. Something like that could be fun if we want to dive into that way.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll come up with something.
We'll figure it out. But see you guys Monday.
Again, Twitter @LockdownCavs. Thanks, everyone, for listening.